Whilst our commission from Rome is read, let silence be commanded.
What's the need? It has already publicly been read.
And on all sides, the authority allowed. You may then spare that time.
Say, Henry, King of England, come into the court. Henry, King of England, come into the court.
Here.
Say, Catherine, Queen of England, come into the court. Catherine, Queen of England, come into the court.
Sir, I desire you do me right and justice, to bestow your pity on me. For I am a most poor woman and a stranger, born out of your dominions, having here no judge indifferent, nor no more assurance of equal friendship and proceeding. Alas, sir, in what have I offended you? What cause has my behavior given to your displeasure, that thus you should begin to put me off and take your good grace from me? Heaven witness, I have been to you a true and humble wife, at all times to your will conformable, ever in fear to kindle your dislike, yea, subject to your countenance, glad or sorry, as I saw it inclined. When was the hour I ever contradicted your desire, or made it not mine too? And which of your friends have I not strove to love, although I knew he were mine enemy? What friend of mine that had to him incurred your anger did I continue in my liking? Nay, gave notice he was from thence discharged. Sir, consider that I have been your wife in this obedience upward of 20 years. And have been blessed with many children by you. If in the course and process of this time you can report, and prove it too, against mine honor aught, my bond to wedlock, or my love and duty against your sacred person, in God's name, turn me away. And let the foulest contempt shut door upon me, and so deliver me up to the sharpest kind of justice. Please you, sir, the king your father was reputed for a prince most prudent, of an excellent and unmatched wit and judgment. Ferdinand, my father, king of Spain, was reckoned one the wisest prince that there had reigned by many a year before. It is not to be questioned that they had gathered a wise council to them of every realm that did debate this business, who deemed our marriage lawful. Wherefore, I humbly beseech you, sir, to spare me, till I may be by my friends in Spain advised, whose counsel I will implore. If not, in the name of God, your pleasure be fulfilled.
You have here, lady, and of your choice, these reverend fathers, men of singular integrity and learning, yea, the elect of the land, who are assembled to plead your cause. It shall be therefore bootless that longer you desire the court, as well for your own quiet as to rectify what is unsettled in the king.
His grace has spoken well and justly. Therefore, madam, 'tis fit this royal session to proceed, and that without delay their arguments be now produced and heard.
Lord Cardinal, to you I speak.
Your pleasure, madam.
Sir, I am about to weep. But thinking that we are a queen, or long have dreamed so, certain the daughter of a king, my drops of tears I'll turn to sparks of fire.
Be patient yet.
I will when you are humble. May the fall of God will punish me. I do believe, induced by potent circumstances, that you are mine enemy. And make my challenge, you shall not be my judge. For it is you have blown this cove betwixt my lord and me, which God's due quench. Before I say again, I utterly abhor yea, from my soul, refuse you for my judge, whom yet once more I hold my most malicious foe and think not at all a friend to truth.
I do profess you speak not like yourself. Whoever yet have stood to charity and displayed the effects of wisdom and a disposition gentle or topping woman's power. Madam, you do me wrong. I have no spleen against you, nor injustice for you or any. How far I have proceeded, or how far further shall, is warranted by a commission from the consistory. Yea, the whole consistory of Rome. You charge me that I have blown this coal. I do deny it. The king is present. If it be known to him that I gainsay my deed, how may he wound and worthily my falsehood? Yea, as much as you have done my truth. If he know that I am free of your report, he knows I am not of your wrong. Therefore, in him it lies to cure me. And the cure is to remove these thoughts from you, the which before his highness shall speak it. I do beseech you, gracious madam, to unthink your speaking, and to say so no more.
My lord, I am a simple woman, much too weak to oppose your coming. You are meek and humble mouthed. You sign your place and calling in full seeming with meekness and humility. But your heart is crammed with arrogancy, spleen, and pride. You have, by fortune and his highness' favors, gone slightly or low steps, and now amounted where powers are your retainers. Your words, domestics to you, serve your will as to please yourself pronounce their office. I must warn you, you tender more your person's honor than your high profession spiritual. That again, I do refuse you for my judge. And here before you all, appeal unto the Pope to bring my whole cause for his holiness. And to be judged by him.
Queen's obstinate, stubborn to justice, apt to accuse it, and disdainful to be tried by it. It is not well. She's going away.
Call her again.
Catherine, Queen of England, come into the court.
Oh, madam, you are called back.
What need you noted, pray you keep your way, when you are called, return. Now the Lord help me, begs me past my patience. Pray you pass on. I will not tarry, no. Nor ever more upon this business my appearance make in any of their courts.
Go thy ways, Kate. That man in the world who shall report he has a better wife, let him in naught be trusted for speaking false in that. Thou art alone, if thy rare qualities, sweet gentleness, thy meekness saint-like, wife-like government, obeying and commanding, and thy part sovereign and pious, else could speak thee out. The queen of earthly queens. She's noble-born. Like her true nobility, she has carried herself toward me.
Most gracious sir, in humblest manner I require your highness that it shall please you to declare in hearing of all these ears, for where I am robbed and bound, there must I be unloosed, although not here at once and fully satisfied. Whether ever I did broach this business to your highness, or laid any scruple in your way which might induce you to the questionant, or ever have to you but with thanks to God for such a royal lady, spake one the least word that might be to the prejudice of her present state, or touch of her good person.
Lord Cardinal, I do excuse you. Yea, upon mine honor, I free you from it. You are not to be taught that you have many enemies, that know not why they are so, but like your village curs, bark when their neighbors do. By some of these, the queen is put in anger. You are excused. But will you be more justified? You ever have wished the sweeping of this business, never desired it to be stirred, but oft have hindered, oft, the passage is made towards it. On mine honor, I speak my good Lord Cardinal to this point, and thus far clear him. Now, what move me to it? I will be bold with time and your attention, and mark the inducements. Thus it came. Give heed to it. My conscience first received a tenderness, scruple, and prick on certain speeches uttered by the Bishop of Bayonne, then French ambassador, who had been hither sent on the debating of marriage twixt the Duke of Orleans and our daughter Mary. In the progress of this business, near a determinate resolution, the bishop, did require a respite, wherein he might the king, his lord, advertise whether our daughter were legitimate. Respecting this, our marriage with the dowager, sometimes our brother's wife. This respite shook the bosom of my conscience. Entered me, yea, with a splitting power, made to tremble the region of my breast, which forced such way that many maids, considering did throng and pressed in with this caution. First, methought I stood not in the smile of heaven, who had commanded nature that my lady's womb, if it conceived a male child by me, should do no more offices of like to it than the grave does to the dead. For a male issue or died where they were made, or shortly after this world had heard them. Hence I took a thought. This was a judgment on me. Of my kingdom, well worthy the best heir of the world, should not be gladdened in by me. And then follows that I weighed the danger which my realm stood in by this my issues fail. And that gave to me many a groaning throw. Thus, hulling in the wild sea of my conscience, I did steer towards this remedy, whereupon we are now present here together. That's to say, I meant to rectify my conscience, which I then did feel full sick and yet not well, by all the reverend fathers of the land and doctors learned. First, I began in private with you, my Lord of Lincoln. You remember how under my oppression I did reek when I first moved you?
Very well, my liege.
I have spoke long. Be pleased yourself to say how far you satisfied me.
So please, your highness, the question did at first so stagger me, bearing a state of mighty moment in it, and consequence of dread, that I committed the daringest counsel which I had to doubt, and did entreat your highness through this course which you are running here.
I then moved you, my Lord of Canterbury, and got your leave to make this present summons. Unsolicited, I left no reverend person of this court, but by particular consent proceeded under your hands and seals. Therefore, go on. For no dislike in the world against the person of the good queen, but the sharp, thorny points of my alleged reasons drives this forward. Prove but our marriage lawful. By my life and kingly dignity, we are contented to wear our mortal state to come with her, Catherine our queen, before the primest creature that's paragon to the world.
So please, your highness, the queen being absent, to the needful fitness that we adjourn this court to a further day. Meanwhile, must be an earnest motion made to the queen to call back her appeal she intends unto his holiness.
Never see these cardinals trifle with me. I abhor this dilatory sloth and tricks of Rome. My learned and well-beloved servant Cranmer prithee return. When I approach, I know my comfort comes along.
Break up the court.
I say, stand on!